Extra time.
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. It's me, your host, Patrick Van Straten, and today I'm joined for a very special episode of the pod by Doogie Critchley and Zach Jellub. Hello, Doogie.
Hi, Pat.
How are you
getting
on?
Chaos, isn't it, in the world?
I know, it's a crazy Monday morning. Zach, how are you feeling?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I've kind of recovered after the past 12 hours, but yeah, it's been a wild, wild time. We're living through history again, whilst also living through history.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we not always living through history? Just yeah. Mostly quite boring, unremarkable history. Well, as you may have guessed, we're going to talk about the biggest news story of the weekend today, which is the formation of the European Super League. Now, obviously, this idea has been floating around for several years now, but it took a big step towards reality on Sunday with 12 of Europe's leading football clubs announcing that they've agreed to establish this new midweek competition, the European Super League, which will take the place of the Champions League, essentially. Now, they're going to try and start it as soon as possible. It's going to be run by founding clubs. So there are going to be 15 founding member clubs, and then 5 teams will qualify for the tournament each season. Now, 3 of those founding clubs are yet to be determined, but there are 12 already confirmed, and they are AC Milan, Arsenal, Atletico Madrid, Chelsea, Barcelona, Inter Milan, Juventus, Liverpool, Man City, Man United, Real Madrid, and Tottenham. So obviously the notable absentees here are Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, Paris Saint-Germain, those kind of teams. And the stated aim of this is to create some financial stability after pretty much every club in the world has had their finances gutted by the coronavirus crisis. But really, it's a response to the potential reforms to the Champions League. Now, UEFA were due to meet this morning to talk about those reforms, which are going to see the tournament increased to 36 teams, almost double the number of matches from 125 to 225. And actually, they were already going to make a concession to these big clubs. They were going to start factoring coefficient into qualification, which basically meant that if you weren't very good now, but you were a quote-unquote historically significant football club, then you would have a better chance of getting into the Champions League. So teams like Arsenal and AC Milan, who've been pretty bad over the last decade, would have a much better chance of getting into the tournament than teams like Leicester, who have been significantly better. But that apparently was not enough for the big sides, and they've decided to press ahead with the formation of this division. This morning, there was a meeting of the European Clubs Association, and the representatives from Arsenal, Man United, Juve all walked out. They're done. Guys, Zach, I'll come to you first. What is your initial reaction? Because we could talk about the facts, and we are going to talk about the facts to some degree, but to be honest with you, people can go and look up like the financial set up and everything, and to be honest, it's still pretty woolly at the moment. How do you feel about this?
I think sad. Yeah, like I think a lot of it when you've looked into it doesn't take into account the kind of like fan aspect and the idea that you want fans to go, you know, from traveling Europe. I mean, one, we're in a pandemic, but also traveling Europe, you know, every other week to go see their club play in Spain and Italy and you know, who knows where what other clubs end up joining too, and just also just like it just feels, it takes away from the point in football. Like the idea that your club will never get relegated from this division and will always be one of the best because they're getting 350 million or so pounds from it every single year to help them, it just makes things like the domestic league pointless. What's the point in finishing, you know, 7th or 10th or 12th or 2nd? Like the only point would be winning it. If you finish anywhere else, like there's no point to it because it doesn't matter. Like you're still in the equivalent of the Champions League, the European Super League, and I think it just loses the integrity of football. Like the whole point of the competition, it's so like American, so like the NFL or the MLS, where you don't get relegated. You literally it doesn't happen. And like I wouldn't be surprised in say like couple of years time they brought in a draft and all that kind of stuff. It's all quite shocking. And also like to call it like we just shot winners and losers, and Joe made a really good point, like to call it the European Super League when currently only 3 countries out of Europe, which is about 50 odd, it is ridiculous. It's mental. I just don't get it. I don't really agree with it. I can understand, like there are points that I understand, like Arsenal for instance right now I get why they're annoyed, right? They're in the Europa League. And if they win the Europa League, they get nowhere near as much money as, say, someone that's in the Champions League and progresses into the round of 16 and gets out of the group stage. Like, I can understand why they find it frustrating and why they, especially during a year of a pandemic, where normally football clubs, especially in the instance of the top ones, financially are all grand, when they've had this shock and be like, oh no, we are human, we can, you know, we could go under if something like this happened again, even worse or so. And they want to secure that, they want to make sure they're okay. But the proposal is just, in my head, like, insane and just, like, so elitist.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question, right? So, Dukes, based on what Zach's just said, if they announced the formation of the European Super League, but said that it would just basically work like the Champions League from the first year, you know, that the teams that finished in the top four or whatever were going to make it, would there be any reason to object to this competition? I mean, obviously that would never happen because the whole point is preserving the financial power of these elite clubs. But are there reasons to dislike this league beyond the fact that it does seem like a power grab by those big sides?
Yeah, I mean, if it didn't destroy the sort of fabric of football and and change football as we know it for the last 100 years, then yeah, I think a lot more people would be for it. The Champions League in itself, you know, has changed format so many times as it is, you know, in 1990 or 1992, I think it was. It then changed again in the early 2000s, getting rid of a second group stage. And I don't think anyone has a massive problem with UEFA's plans to expand the Champions League, you know, take it to more countries. It probably makes sense in the overall, and I don't think anyone's too precious about changing the Champions League, but to completely void that competition, which has given so much to so many of these clubs, like Real Madrid, 13-time winners, Barcelona, 5, AC Milan, 7, Liverpool, 6, like these are the teams that have built their reputations and built their history and built their success off the back of success in European Cups and league titles to a certain degree as well. But the grandeur that goes with these clubs, the marketing, it's all based on success in the Champions League. And they want to throw that all away to create a competition that is just so anti the complete structure of football, the idea that any team can beat anyone and anyone can win a league and then get represented in European competition. It's sickening, I think, really, is the word I'd probably use. And I'm still in shock, really. And I don't think they've thought it through either, because I, as a neutral, like, Sunderland probably will never get into the Champions League, would never get into the European Super League as it is. But I watch the Champions League every week. I love the Champions League. And I don't want to watch Arsenal play Bayern Munich twice a year and lose 5-1. Well, like, what makes it so unique, the Champions League, is the uniqueness of the ties. We're watching Real Madrid versus Chelsea in a couple of weeks. We've never seen that before. How exciting to see how a, you know, developing side under Thomas Tuchel does against a you know, European juggernaut. We're just not going to see those ties, and they're not going to be so special anymore. It's just going to be week in, week out, and I just think they haven't thought this through from the fans' perspective, and we're the ones that can really make a difference on this if we don't buy the merchandise, don't watch the games, and hopefully it will get overturned.
Okay, well, I'm going to pick up a couple of points there. Firstly, in case you thought that Doogie was overstating things when he said that this is going to change football, it really, really is. The reaction from football's authorities has been furious. So UEFA have said that the clubs concerned will be banned from playing in any other competition, domestic or European level. Their players could be denied the opportunity to represent their national teams. The FA have threatened legal action, and there's a possibility here that clubs... I don't think it's very likely, but there's a possibility here that clubs could be docked points or relegated or something. Like, it's very difficult to say. On the other hand, I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit. I actually don't think that the Champions League produces unique ties. Chelsea and Real Madrid is unusual in that it's something we haven't really seen before. Because what we have seen in the Champions League so far this season is we've seen Bayern Munich play PSG, PSG play Barcelona, Real Madrid play Liverpool. Like, these are extremely familiar fixtures. And your cited example of Bayern Munich beating Arsenal 5-1, that's because we've seen that happen like 5 times.
Yeah. But those ties in the Champions League, they've got there on merit. Like, PSG deserve to play Bayern Munich. Mm-hmm. Chelsea deserve to play Real Madrid. None of these sides have done anything to deserve to be in this Super League.
I agree. But that's a separate question from whether it's going to be repetitive. Like, I completely agree. Like, I think that if you're going to have a European competition, it should be a competition for the teams that are currently the best in Europe. Mm. And that means the teams that finish in the top four or whatever of their respective leagues. So should Arsenal be there? No. Should Leicester? Yeah. Like, I completely agree about that. But what I don't think is that this really is going to, like, affect the uniqueness of European ties. I mean, it will in the long term, because obviously we will see the same teams play each other every season. But in the short term, I think a lot of this stuff would be kind of new. Like, I mean, we don't really get new fixtures in the Champions League basically ever. I think the Champions League is quite boring. So that's my other issue. And I do think that there's something to be said here about UEFA being hypocrites.
For sure.
Yeah, because UEFA brought in financial fair play, what, in 2005 or whatever, or said they were going to bring it in. And certainly a team like Arsenal made plans for the future based on the advent of financial fair play. It then turned out that UEFA were never going to enforce it properly. And now they're complaining about unfairness and greed. And similarly, it does seem a bit like all the clubs that are complaining and saying, oh, this is unfair and, you know, this is like the game is gone, blah, blah, blah. It sounds, I don't really buy it, because what it sounds to me like is not, oh, we must preserve the game. It's they're annoyed that they've been cut out of a lucrative enterprise. The fans have legitimate complaints, I think, but the clubs whining about it, I think, can f*** off. Like, I don't buy a word of it.
Yeah, I mean, I can see. Like, that's the thing as well, right? For years, I think this first came. I think I remember when I was reading into it. The whole idea has come from when that tournament was started in America back in 2015, and the clubs played each other in a pre-season game. And then since then, it's been spoken about. And also since then, the clubs have gone to UEFA and FIFA and said, like, look, we want changes. If you don't do changes, we'll do it ourselves. And continuously, like, said this to them. And then have basically gone, okay, well, you guys aren't going to do what we want. You guys aren't going to change it. You're not going to listen to us. So we're going to go completely out there and do our own thing. And I think the whole time UEFA thought, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, you go do that, whatever you say. You're not actually going to do that. And then now, the first time of some sort of solid evidence, and, you know, they've got a whole website and it's been backed by JP Morgan and everything, that the UEFA sit there and go, oh, wow, oh, like, we've shut the bed here. You know, we've not worked probably alongside them well enough. And yes, maybe what they are saying is out of this, you know, is ridiculous and shouldn't happen, but they've at least not, they've not probably, you know, spoken enough. Whereas, like, when I look at the whole thing, what's going to happen, I would not be surprised if in, say, a month's time, It's been, you know, some massive compromise has happened, and the clubs get probably what they want, the majority of it. However, it's still called the Champions League. UEFA still run it, and all this kind of stuff. However, they're, you know, the founding members are part of the kind of like ownership of it. Maybe it's split between them. I'm not too sure. But that's looking more so into the future than now. But I'm really not that surprised that it's happened when they've said, you know, continuously, if you don't listen to us, if you don't do this, we are going to do this. And it's no surprise it's happened even more so now when Real Madrid and Barcelona are in these financial debts of nearly over €1 billion. Mm. And as we mentioned earlier, AC Milan, Arsenal, these clubs aren't even in the top competition in Europe, in the Champions League. Like, it's no surprise that now, when they need the money and when they when they, you know, don't see maybe a future for a while of getting back into this top division, that it's been announced and that these clubs are involved.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Tottenham are all outside the top four in their league. Juventus are fourth in their league. Like, as you say, AC Milan and Man United as well have been, you know, really pretty mediocre for the best part of the last decade. It does feel like this was a time to get those teams on board when they're feeling a little bit weak. Their finances have been hurt by COVID and they're not sure that they can actually compete with smarter teams anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like that. And also, I just think the Premier League clubs, particularly in this arrangement, the Premier League clubs have the most to lose, because we've got the richest league as it is. We've got the biggest broadcast revenue, we've got the biggest spending on transfer fees, and instead we've given, or the Premier League clubs involved have given, you know, your Barcelonas, your Real Madrid, your Juventuses a chance to catch up, which is basically what they were looking for all along. Mm. They just haven't thought this through. Like, you've just got rid of your USP, which is the Premier League and the success of the Premier League. And instead you're going to go into bed with these other teams, develop them, give them 400 million euros per time they take part, and the gap will just close. And Arsenal, Spurs, Man United will be increasingly average in this competition. And it's not going to look good for their optics either when you're coming 20th or 15th and below in a league. So, I don't know. I'm just disappointed. I just don't think it's been thought through on every, like, on any level, really.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think that a lot of fans of historically big clubs are going to enjoy football a lot less when, instead of winning 30 of their league games in a season, they're losing more than half. Yeah. You know, like, if Arsenal fans think that they're not enjoying football now when they're ninth in the Prem, wait until they're conceding 6 goals every week because they're playing sides that are way better than them. It's just not plausible. But I think Zach's right. There's going to have to be some sort of compromise here, because there's absolutely no way that players are going to go and play for these clubs if it means they can't play for their national teams, for example.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the kind of step that we haven't got to yet, right? So, for instance, when we're recording this, Liverpool play Leeds later today. Jurgen Klopp is so against this. He's mentioned so many times that he doesn't like it. He said before that, you know, the idea that Liverpool play Real Madrid like 10 times in a couple of years is mental. Like, it's like, where's the fun in that? Thomas Tuchel's got to speak to the press today about his game against Brighton tomorrow. Like, the questions, like, will be there. And that's when, I think that's when we'll really see it, for instance. So, like, when these managers have to talk about it. And the difficulty is whether these managers are able to say how they feel or say the answer that the club want them to say. Klopp has already come out before and said that he doesn't like this. So I would assume he will come out and continue to say that, even if Liverpool are in it. As for Tuchel, like, I'm not too sure. I mean, the Zinedine Zidane and Koeman, like, these guys, once their press conferences come, like, they'll have a lot to answer for, especially Real Madrid. Like, Florentino Perez is the president. He's the whole head honcho of it all. And so then it will become to the players, right? After the managers, it will be the players. And that's where we might be able to see a lot more of, because currently at the moment, I think it feels like, as fans, it's just going to happen. Like, it's done. Whereas once I think we see a little bit more stick from the managers and players, and they may also get told the answer, like, say no comment, like, don't really give a proper answer yet, that it's still being developed and all that kind of stuff, which is probably what will happen. But it will take a few managers and players to maybe stand up and be like, look, I don't agree with this. I don't understand it as well. Like, I'm almost certain that the majority of players had no idea this was happening, and have just woken up today and been like, "Oh, brilliant! Like, we've got to go deal with this now." So I think that'll be the next step, and that's where we might see a little bit more like, "Oh, okay." It might not seem as like it might not work as well as I think the head honchos are hoping.
Yeah, it's the managers that hold the key for me, because there's far less of them. There's, I don't know, 20 elite managers, whereas players, you'll always find players that want to play for the biggest clubs in the world on the highest wages, even if they can't represent their national team at World Cups. Like, I think that's quite a small factor for a lot of players. Take a Robert Lewandowski, who's never going to win the World Cup or the Euros with Poland. I'm not trying to make him out. I could have used any player. I'm not saying he's particularly greedy or anything like that. I think he'd still want to play in the European Super League and have a chance at trophy that way than play for Poland. That is just an example. So what we basically need is managers to take a stand against the European Super League. And it's interesting that this morning in the the coverage of Jose Mourinho's departure from Spurs, some people are reporting that he's been fired over making a stand against the European Super League. But for me, I feel like that's a great distraction tactic from Jose.
Yeah,
exactly. Total rubbish. Because, I mean, he was on his last legs as Spurs manager. You know, the results weren't good enough from November time. So it suits him to say, I've been fired over making a stand. So, yeah, I think it'll be very unlikely for many managers to come out and criticise this idea when, you know, their owners, their bosses, effectively, have been so crucial to the formation of the whole thing.
It's the most Spurs have done the Mourinho tactic there. that let's do something else. Let's also say let's say something mental, so that we're not speaking about the bigger problem here, which is the European Super League.
Yeah, and fans are furious with us, so let's go ahead and give them something that they've wanted for ages. Yeah. I mean, the concern is a little bit that it will... I don't really care about the clubs or the managers. I don't really care about other clubs. I do care about the players, though, and I do worry that this is going to screw over the players, because... Mm. And I felt this way also about the idea for Champions League reform, to be honest with you. Like, because it does just seem that everyone's reaction to how can we make more money is play more games. And I was adding up the fixtures here, and in the Super League, basically the way it works is there are two groups of 10 clubs each. They play each other home and away. This starts in August and runs till May, so you're just in two leagues for the entire duration of the year. And if you finish in the top three in your 10 team group, you go through to the quarters. But then there are places for the teams that finish fourth and fifth. They're going to play each other in playoffs, which means that if you're in a league where you play 38 games in a season, like La Liga or the Premier League, and you go the whole way in the Super League, having gone through the playoffs as well, then when it gets to the end of the season, you've played 63 games without even getting into domestic cup competitions.
Oh, my Lord.
That's so many games. And there's also talk, it was buried in the announcements from these elite clubs, that there will probably be some sort of spending framework in the European Super League. This actually kind of goes back to what Doogie was saying about Premier League teams potentially giving up a bit of a financial advantage over some of the other teams around them. So I'm a bit concerned that we might end up with a salary cap and huge numbers of games, and we just see a bunch of players getting paid less than they otherwise could on an open market, and probably dealing with long periods out due to injury, because bear in mind we've just had a compressed season because of COVID. We're going into the Euros, another compressed season, a World Cup, and at some point in there the European Super League is meant to start. These players are never going to get a break. There are going to be people whose careers get ended because they, you know, pick up a horrible injury, and that's it. It's really worrying.
And well, this is where, you know, hopefully you assume that players look into this and they do realise that actually this isn't for me. And you know, there is a kind of players union, but not like an official thing or whatever. But maybe they do come out and they say, look, we're not going to be a part of this. We're not going to do this. Like, I don't know the contract. Like, no one knows the contractual agreements between the clubs and the players and what means what. And if anything, there's a loophole or whatever. You know, that's something that will come down that we'll see over time. But the players do need to, like, I agree with you that the managers are the bigger ones because they are the key kind of guys. But say, for instance, Cristiano Ronaldo comes out and goes, I don't want to do this. Like, massive, huge. Mm. It's a few other players, like, I don't know, Paul Pogba and maybe, I don't know, Mason Mount or whatever. They're just names that I've plucked out of my head. They come out, like, the key players, the guys that maybe the tournament would look to promote the tournament around with. Like, these guys come out and say, you know what, well, I'm not for this, I'm not doing this. Like, it falls on its feet. Like, what happens then, and what happens with whether it goes ahead and they then just can't play in it, or they get sold, whatever, I'm not too sure. But there is a way that the players can also have a huge say here and do what they want. But the issue as well is any of the players that are in this and their clubs are paying their wages, it's difficult to do that, because the club may then not pay your wages, which is unfortunate for them, because that's obviously how they make their money.
Yeah, it needs the right people really to take a stand. Again, like the manager thing, like, you need to be absolutely certain that you've got the power to stand up to your club. And there are relatively few people who feel that way, because of course it is a short career and you kind of need to make the money while you can. An interesting thing, To go back to fan reaction to this, because I think that's something we haven't really spoken that much about yet, and to me it's kind of the heart of the matter. There's an interesting age disparity. So there was a poll conducted back in December last year, which showed a real split in how people felt about a European Super League. 48% of younger fans, I think these were fans under 30, said they would be happy about the prospect of a European Super League. Only 18% said they would be unhappy. By contrast, of fans aged 55 and older, only 10% were happy about the idea, while two-thirds were unhappy. And actually, when I've looked at the coverage of this, I have seen so much kind of whining from middle-aged ex-footballers, middle-aged pundits, and journalists, who seem to be the people who are most outraged about this, who see it as like a break from, I don't know, some sort of glorious history of the game, probably ignoring the fact that, as Doug said, the Champions League has been reformed a million times within our lifetime, that the Premier League was seen in exactly the same light when that came into being, that it was like this ridiculous breakaway power grab by all the big sides. Dukes, what do you think that that fans are as angry about this as the kind of journalistic punditry class? And how do you think that this is going to affect actual supporters' enjoyment of football?
Yeah, it's difficult to say. I think on Twitter, I tend to follow journalists and news sources. So I feel like maybe I'm in a slight echo chamber where I only see people's opinions who are quite similar to mine. And there is a lot of anger there. But it's an interesting point about the younger generation. I've read quite a few recent articles about how the fact that you know, boys, girls slightly younger than ourselves don't have so many ties to specific clubs, but rather to specific players. So they are fans of Ronaldo rather than Juventus. They're fans of Messi above all else before their love for Barcelona. So to see these, you know, and we see it on football Twitter all the time, these titanic, these clashes between clubs really break down to, people analyse it as player against player. It's Haaland's audition for Man City, etc. So I think for a younger generation who aren't so tied to the concept of a league and the actual team, but they just want to see the best players play against each other in a sort of gladiatorial game every couple of weeks in a European Super League, I imagine a lot of the younger generation are quite enthralled by the concept of it, without maybe having the, you know, I don't mean to patronise them, but maybe the foresight of how it's going to affect the rest of the football pyramid in all these countries around Europe, and how just smaller clubs are just going to be left behind. So, yeah, without meaning to sound patronising, I feel like if you're a true fan of the European Super League, you might not have considered the consequences and how uneven it's going to make football and the sport we love.
Yeah, though on the other hand, again, we can go back to the hypocrisy issue, right? So like Charlie Austin has been complaining about this morning, saying, oh, football's no longer the working man's game, blah, blah, blah. And I think, like, weren't you making 100K a week at QPR? Like, and I'm sorry, but weren't the organisations denouncing these clubs as being greedy? Weren't they the ones who decided that it should cost 15 quid to stream one football match in the autumn during the coronavirus pandemic, when loads of people were furloughed or had been laid off? Like, I mean, I do get where you're coming from, but on the other hand, I do just think that, like, people are throwing every possible argument at the wall on this and ignoring the fact that this is really a continuation of a process that has been going on over the last 100 years of football no longer being a sport which has roots in communities, but being a business which seeks to create the maximum possible revenue for itself. I mean,
yeah. Just one final thing. I feel like the biggest outrage is the fact you can't be relegated from it.
Yeah. Yes.
Like if you got there on merit and you could be relegated if you didn't perform well enough, yeah, I don't think a lot of people would have that many issues with it. If it was a fair system and that everyone had a chance of getting into it, if West Ham had a chance of getting into it in a few years' time, which they do slightly because there are those five spots, but there's not enough chance really. So if that was fixed in the agreement, I think there'd be a lot less outrage. But for now, I don't think it's ever going to sit well with most people.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I kind of think this morning, Real Betis have published like an updated version of the Spanish league table, where they've put themselves in third because they've taken the three big clubs out. But to be honest, the Spanish league is super corrupt anyway in the way that it pays the big sides. And I don't really have an issue with those three clubs being decided, like being kind of like it's been codified that they are the biggest teams in Spain, whereas in the Premier League it feels a bit more outrageous because Arsenal are rubbish, Spurs are terrible, Chelsea are on the up but had a bad first half of the season, Liverpool are outside the top four. Like, it does just feel, it's so transparent in the way that it's like trying to find an alternative. It's a little bit like when you were playing football on the playground at lunchtime when you were a kid and you were like 5 goals down, but you shouted next goal wins. Like, it's cheating. Like, it's just a way of cheating, yeah, because you know you're crap.
Because that's the thing. I think I completely agree with Dewey. Like, if the idea that, because that's the, like, as people that watch football enjoy an underdog story, they love that kind of stuff. You know, when Leicester won the Premier League and all that kind of stuff, people loved it because it's the fact that a club with not a lot of money out of, you know, out of nowhere can go and do so well. And so, like, the fact that, you know, West Ham could play in Europe against Real Madrid, like, it's a cool story. It's something which is really, you know, heartwarming and all that kind of stuff without going too mushy. But that's just not possible. Like, it's really not... Like, the idea that there's going to be 20 clubs and only 5 of them can change each year... Like, it makes no sense in my head how that they thought that was, like, a good idea. And 15 of them are there every single year and just making, you know, money on money on money and profiting so much more than all the rest of the clubs. Like, I understand they say that, oh, you know, the money will trickle down. We're going to make sure, you know, the grassroots of football will be supported and all this kind of stuff. But, like, realistically, it won't. Like, it isn't now. It won't then. It's about how much more money can these 15 clubs make compared to everyone else. And I can't help but feel like there's no way it actually happens, and it's just like a look, this is the worst case scenario right now. We could do this, and, you know, you guys can't do anything about it. However, you know, we are willing to talk and make sure something happens. But I mean, that's just in my own head. I don't really know whether that will actually happen.
Well, if it does feel a bit that way, I find it hard to believe, and it was kind of surprising this morning, you know, when the clubs did walk out of the European Clubs Association
didn't know that was a thing as well, by the way, 24 hours ago. Didn't know that was a thing.
Well, that's because it's not interesting. Yeah. But yeah, like, I kind of felt with that, like, oh, okay, is this actually happening? Because my attitude all along has been, this is leverage. Like, this is leverage. You know, you're, like, trying to get more money. And I don't know. The thing is, I feel less bothered about this because of the announced Champions League reforms. Because the announced Champions League reforms, I feel like, were basically just a version of this, you know, but with UEFA's say so. I was kind of a bit like, well, this is just the same thing. Like, I don't like the idea of, like, clubs getting legacied into the top tournament in Europe. And I don't like the fact that teams can, like, use the fact that they have huge global fan bases to just pressure UEFA into giving them more money. Like, I don't like that, but it feels like that's happening one way or another. So the fact that whether it happens in a European Super League or a new version of the Champions League, I guess I'm not that bothered either way, because either way it just feels stupid and corrupt and like it's not actually going to be a fun tournament. And that's the thing, right, Dukes? Like, when you imagine this, do you feel any excitement about watching the European Super League? I feel zero. I feel none at all. I don't care.
Yeah, I already tweeted it this morning. I don't think that the concept is something that interests me as a neutral at all. Whereas, you know, the Champions League, I'm happy to change it. I just feel like the Champions League has gone through such a good period in the last few years in terms of some awesome results. You know, Man City, Spurs, Ajax, Barcelona, Liverpool. Like, these were epic ties that were created by a fair system where, you know, teams qualified for it on merit and they got to that stage and they, you know, slugged it out over two legs. And, you know, it created some of the most dramatic sport that I've ever watched, let alone football. And I feel like to throw that away and create some closed off, you know, bordered group is just wrong on every level for me.
Agreed. Well, I think that's probably as far as we're going to get on this today. Like, I think that this story seems like it's likely to continue changing for at least the next 48 hours. And I still feel in my heart that Zach is right. Like, I still feel like
that
you're correct. There's going to have to be something. It can't possibly be left this way. Players won't accept it. Like, you'd have to pay a player so much for them to give up a chance of, say, winning the World Cup.
I mean, you can if you're earning 350 million a year.
Yeah, but on the other hand, like, you know...
But there's also morality.
When you're a kid, imagine winning the World Cup. Yeah, like you imagine winning the World Cup.
Yeah, you do, and like play, and exactly like the Euros literally happening in like these guys. The Euros is meant to be happening in like 2 months. Like, what's going to happen here if this continues to go through and they're already like they could theoretically just be like, okay, any of the players that are involved in these clubs, you're not going to the Euros, and like then it's even more of a bigger deal. But I mean, yeah, that's something that we. That again, that's like future. You just don't, you can't really talk about it because you just don't know at this point.
Well, I think the important thing to remember though is that if the Big Six get kicked out of the Premier League, then we'll get to play Sunderland twice a season again. And
I did tweet that this morning. We will be closer to the Premier League. We're coming.
Well, at least there's good news in there for somebody. Thanks very much for being on the show today, guys. Zach, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Why not check us out on Snapchat as well? We have a show that goes out there every single day talking about all the good stuff in football, and today talking even more about the European Super League.
And Doogie, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, why don't you go check out ERU from Monday on Eurofootball Daily, where McCubs and me talked about why Real Madrid and Barcelona are ringleaders in this and how Javier Tebas is a little bit cross, to say the least.
Oh, well, he always is, isn't he? Thank you very much to you guys for joining me. And thank you to you for watching or listening at home. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast using whichever podcast app you favour, or that you're subscribed to us on Football Daily Podcast on YouTube. Thanks very much. And this story is going to run and run, so I imagine we will see you again to discuss it more next week and in the coming months. We'll see you next time. Bye.